Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Still alive. Anybody glad to be here tonight? Through your trials and tribulations, you're still here. Came up on the rough side of the mountain. But through it all, God kept his arms around you. We just want to tell him thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you because you brought me dear Jesus, even though I fail sometimes to do your will, you did not leave me, no, no, you left me, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
You were there with me when I strayed away. On me when I failed to get on my knees and pray.
Look what
you did, Lord. You died in my footsteps. Day by day. And another thing, you kept your arms wrapped around me. Yes, I did. I don't know what I'm talking about. You were my guide. You let it shine so clear. Brother Chamberlain, even though I failed, didn't always do God's will. But God being the God he is, he looked beyond my faults and he bowed it with my knees.
You bless.
Kept on blessing. Over and over again. Over and over again. Over and over again, Lord. You spared your grace. And you spared your mercy, Lord. Never could have made it without you. Never could have made it without you. You kept your arm around me. Put food on my table. Paid my bills when I didn't have money in my pocket. Took care of my family. Watched over me all night long while I slept. And you didn't forget about me when I laid down last night. Because early this morning, you touched me.
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 And I can't burn.
Good evening, podcast family. Welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge production, the Messenger Edition. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. I am Nurse Carmen, and again, we thank you for tuning in. Next, we will be having a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you all once again for tuning in as we continue in our series, trying to get those that don't quite seem to understand exactly what's being said one of the things I've always and I will continue to do is, as I'm speaking to you, go within and allow the spirit within you to answer any questions that you might have. I promise you, if you go sincerely, that question will be answered. Jesus said, knock and the door shall be open. So I'm asking that you do the same, because what I'm trying to get us to understand here is that there is another way. And so we have to open up our minds and our hearts that we can receive God for who God really is and not who it is that they've told you. I'm not even telling you who he is. You need to know that for yourself. Now, the question was asked as we continue in our series, why would God want to deny you or me? I'm sorry. Why would you want to deny who you are and God? And it's because you are afraid. And because God's promises are too good to be true. Because you cannot accept the grandest truth. So you must reduce yourself to a spirituality which teaches fear and dependence and intolerance rather than love and power and acceptance. You are filled with fear, and your biggest fear is that God's greatest, biggest promise might be life's biggest lie. And so you create the biggest fantasy you can to defend yourself against this. You claim that any promise which gives you the power and guarantees you the love of God must be the false promise of the devil. God would never make such a promise, you tell yourself. Only the devil would. To tip you into denying God's true identity as the fearsome, judgmental, jealous, vengeful, and punishing entity of entitlement. Even though this description better fits the definition of a devil, if there were one, you have assigned devilish characteristics to God in order to convince yourself not to accept God-like promise of your creator or the God-like qualities of the self. Such is the power of fear. And you say, well, I'm trying to let go of my fears. Tell me how. More of the laws. The first law is that you can be, do, and have whatever you can imagine. The second law is that you attract what you fear. Emotion is the power which attracts. That which you fear strongly, you will experience. An animal, which you consider a lower form of life, even though animals act with more integrity and greater consistency than humans, knows immediately if you are afraid of it. Plants, which you consider an even lower form of life, respond to people who love them far better than to those who couldn't care less. None of this is by coincidence. There is no coincidences in the universe. Only a grand design, an incredible snow. Emotion is energy in motion. When you move energy, you create effect. If you move enough energy, you create matter. Matter is energy conglomerated, moved around, shoved together. If you manipulate energy long enough in a certain way, you get matter. Now, I'm not sure if everyone knows this, but this is what our body is made of, matter. Now, every master understands this law. It's of the universe. It is the secret of all life. Thought is pure energy. Every thought you have ever had and ever will have is creative. The energy of your thoughts never ever dies, ever. It leaves you being and heads out into the universe. extending forever. A thought is forever. So when you think something, it leaves your being and heads out into the universe. All thoughts meet other thoughts, cross an incredible maze of mixture, forming an ever-changing pattern of unspeakable beauty and unbelievable complexity. Like energy attracts like energy, forming to which simple words clumps of energy of like kind. When enough similar clumps crisscross with each other, run into each other, they stick to each other. To use another simpler term, it takes an incomprehensible huge amount of similar energy sticking together, thus to form matter. But matter will form out of pure energy. In fact, that is the only way it can form. And once again, matter out of pure energy. Matter is what this body is made of. Once energy becomes matter, it remains matter for a very long time. Unless its construction is disrupted by opposing or dissimilar form of energy, dissimilar energy acting upon matter actually dismembers the matter, releasing the raw energy from which it was composed. Now, I don't know if you guys got that, but I'm just going to try to break this down. Because when I speak about how we never die, we have to understand this. We are energy, and our energy has formed matter. And inside this matter is energy, and this energy that's inside us is the creator of all things, God. Once we start to do things to break matter down, what happens is the matter falls apart, which is the body, and within it is energy, which we call the soul. And this energy moves on. Energy never, ever, ever, ever dies. And that is you. Now, this is in elementary terms, the theory behind the atomic bomb. Einstein came across that in another human before or once to discover explaining and functionalizing the created secrets of the universe. You should now better understand how people of like mind can work together to create a favorite reality. The phrase, two or more are gathered in God's name, become more meaningful. I'm going to say that again. This explains. Whenever two or more are gathered in God's name, that's because two gathered together creates more energy. The more energy, the more power. And remember, we speak and our thoughts create our reality. So, and I'm stressing this because what happens is, and trust me when I say this, I am not saying that you shouldn't be saying, look what God did. God did. But it's you. God is doing things through you because of who you are. The saying, I look to the hills from which comes my help. That's the saying. Your help is you. It's real about the things. A lot of things in our life, and we don't know what happened. We did. But we think that we are born in and shifted in. We're not worthy to do such things. And I'm just here to tell you that that is a fallacy. You are part of the body of God. Now, of course, when an entire society a certain way, pretty often astonishing things happen. Not all of them necessarily desirable. For instance, a society living in fear very often actually embedded inevitably produces in form that it feels. Similarly, large communities or congregations often miracle-producing power and combined thinking. or what some people call common prayer. And it must be made clear that even individuals, if their thoughts, prayers, hope, wishes, dreams, fear is amazingly strong, can do and of themselves produce such results. Now, I got to go over that one more time, because it's important for us to understand this. When you believe and know without a shadow of a doubt, do you know the power that you possess? When you believe and know, it has no choice but to be. Now, it's okay to give God the credit for it, but you have to understand it is your thoughts. And it is who you are that makes this happen. We have to understand, as magnificent and awesome as God is, do you really think God is watching over you per se? God is you, so yes, in that sense, he's watching over you. But what I mean is, do you think, like, for instance, God is some man in the sky taking a guy down in pen and paper just what it is that you're doing at this particular time, or what somebody else is doing? No, God is running the universe. God doesn't care what it is that you do. God's got you, so he's not doing the things in which we were told that God does. And it must be made clear that even individuals, if their thoughts, prayers, hope, wishes, and dreams, fear is amazingly strong, can in and of themselves produce such results. Jesus did this regularly. He understood how to manipulate energy and matter, how to rearrange it, how to redistribute it, how to utterly control it. Many masters have known this. Many know it right now. You know it right now. This is the knowledge of good, evil, of which Adam and Eve partook. Until they understood this, there could be no life as you know it. Adam and Eve, this mystical name you have given to represent first man and first woman, were the father and mother of human experience. What has been described as the fall of Adam was actually his upliftment, the greatest single event in the history of mankind, of humankind. For without it, the world of relativity would not exist. The act of Adam and Eve was not original sin, but in truth, first blessing. Out of your hearts, for it is being the first to make a wrong choice, Adam and Eve produce the possibilities of making any choice at all. In your mythology, you have made Eve the bad one here, the temptress who ate of the fruit, the knowledge of good and evil, and coy, convinced, invited Adam to join her. This mythology setup has allowed you to make man's downfall ever since, resulting in all manners of warped realities, not to mention distorted sexual views and confusion. How can you feel so good about something so bad? And what you must fear is what will plague you. Fear will draw it to you like a magnet. All of your holy scriptures of every religious persuasion and tradition which you have created contains the clear, and this is by accident, laws are pretty simple. Thought is creative. Fear attracts like energy. Love is all there is. And then you want to say, oh, you got me on that third one. How can love be all fear attracts like energy? Love is the ultimate reality. It is only the all. The feeling of love is your experience of God. In highest truth, love is all there is, all there was, and all there ever will be. When you move into the absolute, you move into love. The realm of the city was created in order that God might experience God's self. It has been explained to you numerous times. This does not make the realm of the relativity real. It is a reality you and God have devised and continue to devise in order that we may know ourselves experientially. Yet, the creation can seem very real. Its purpose is to seem so real, we accept it as truth existing. In this way, God has contrived to create something else other than itself. Though in strictest terms, this is impossible. God is, I am, all that is. Now, and just with that right there, if God is all that is, excuse my language here, but what it is you is? Are you part of the is? God is all that is. Aren't you part of the is? In creating something else, namely the realm of the relativity, God has produced an environment in which you may choose to be God rather than simply be told that you are God, which you may experience Godhead as an act of creation rather than a conceptualization, in which the little candle in the sun, the little soul, can know itself as the light. Fear is the other end of it. It's the primary polarity. In creating the realm of the relative, God first created the opposite of God's self. Now, in the realm in which you live, on the physical plane, there are only two places of being, fear and love. Much rooted in fear will produce one kind of manifestation on the physical plane. Thoughts rooted in love will produce another. The masters who have walked the secret of the relative world and refuse to acknowledge its reality. In short, masters are those who have chosen only love in every instant, in every moment, in every circumstance. Even as they were being killed, they loved their murderers. Even as they were being persecuted, they loved their oppressors. Now, this is very difficult for you to understand, much less effective. Nevertheless, it is what every master has ever done. Now, I want to clear up something to let you know. When I say masters, I want you to know that you too are a master. You just haven't heard it, but you are a master. Now, this example and this lesson has been laid out so clearly for you. Time and again, over and over, have been through all the ages, every place, all your times, in every moment, the universe has used every contrived to place this truth before you. In song and story, in poetry and dance, in words and in motion, in pictures of motion, which you call motion pictures, collection of words, which you call hooks. From the highest mountain, it has been shouted. In the lowest places, its whispers have been heard. Through the corridors of all human experience, as this truth echoed, love is the answer. Yet, you have not listened. Now you come to this podcast asking God again what God has told you countless times in countless ways. That God will tell you again here in this podcast. Will you listen now? Will you truly hear? What do you think brought you to this material? What does it come to pass that you are holding in your mind? Do you think God knows not what God's doing? There are no coincidences in the universe. God has heard the crying of your heart. God has seen the searching of your soul. God knows how deeply you have desired the truth. In pain have you called out for it. And in joy, unendingly, have you beseeched God. Show myself, explain myself, reveal yourself. And God is doing so in terms so plain you cannot misunderstand. In language so simple you cannot be confused. In vocabulary so common you cannot get lost in the verbiage. So go ahead, ask God anything, and God will contrive to bring you the answer. The whole universe will God use to do this. So be on the lookout. This podcast is far from God's only tool. You may ask a question, then turn this podcast on. But watch, listen. The words to the next song you hear. The information in the next article you read. The storylines of the next movie you watch. The chance utterance of the next person you meet. Or the whisper of the next river, the next ocean, the next breeze that caresses your ears. All these devices are God's. All these avenues are open to God. God will speak to you if you will listen. God will come to you if you will invite God. He will show you then that God has always been there. Always. God has always been there. He said, I shall never leave you nor forsake you. So he is with you always. That is something that we really need to come to understand. Knowing that God is with you enough you told your head a little and time seem a little hard. Hold your head up. Why? Because I walk in the knowledge of knowing that thou art with me always and forever. Walk in that knowledge. I know that God is part of me. I thank you all very much for tuning in tonight. I pray that something was said that will stir up the gift in you, that you may come to realize just who you are. I love you all very much. Take care, and until Sunday, may you realize and create the greatest, grandest version of yourself. I love you all.
Thank you. Love you, too.